The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Lots to talk about in our Friday forum. Gaza going under the full control of Israel if Netanyahu has his way. We've got more tariff threats from Trump. We've had a bumper tax year so far. And Airbnbs versus long-term lets. Lots to talk about. I'm joined in studio by Senator D. Ryan from Limerick City, Shannon spokesperson on further and higher education, innovation, research and science. Former CEO of Limerick Chamber of Commerce. We're joined also by Ciarán Hearn, Labour TD for Dublin South West, spokesperson on climate, environment, energy and transport, and Sarah McGuinness, who's political correspondent for the Irish Daily Mail. Good morning and welcome one
Good
and
morning,
all.
Pat.
Morning.
Let's start with you, Sarah, just to see what's highest on your agenda from that summation of the news.
Oh, God, well, it's hard to choose between Israel trying to totally occupy Gaza and the threat of 250% tariffs on pharmaceutical products. To be honest, the kind of biggest thing on my radar is perhaps a culmination of the two, and that is that US letter to the US Congress people's letter seeking that Ireland be sanctioned if we pass the Occupied Territories Bill. I think that is kind of a bridge between those two deeply scary global developments and how Ireland is being impacted.
What this is saying, though, is that the bully America under Trump is spreading its tentacles into everything. I mean, you may have heard the threat to the Intel CEO overnight from Donald Trump.
Then
there was
the
threat to Brazil,
yeah.
For Bolsonaro.
And the Apple deal as well, this kind of deal whereby the Apple has guaranteed the US that it will manufacture $1 billion worth of goods back in the US. Like it really is kind of terrifying how drastically things have flipped in the last 6 months alone. And I suppose
The idea that the American establishment under Trump thinks it has the right to interfere in everybody's business globally. In other words, no matter who you are, whether you're a Putin or a Zelensky or a Micheál Martin or a Bolsonaro or a Lula, in fact, is the president in Brazil at the moment, that he feels he's got the right to interfere, which I think is outrageous.
Because nobody's standing up to him. Everyone is enabling him, essentially. You know, even when Europe secured their trade deal of 15%, I think one of the headlines was, it could have been my own paper, was Europe blinked. You know, it was that we've gone too softly on him, as has everybody else. And I think that this kind of attitude, the fact that he is so emboldened to behave so recklessly, is very much seen in the handling of the Middle East, because really Donald Trump probably is, unfortunately, one of the only people who could have genuine sway in bringing an end to the conflict in that war. And is he acting on that? No, he is not. If anything, all of this, the kind of geopolitical crises in Ukraine and in the Middle East, they are kind of distraction tactics from the economic upheaval that he is going to wreak on the world and on the US. It's staggering to think about all at once.
So, Senator D. Ryan, are we appeasers here in Ireland?
I would disagree. I think that, you know, there's no doubt that since President Trump came into power, the US's relationship with the entire world has changed, has shifted, not just ourselves. And there are implications, obviously, for us in that.
But are we appeasers? Are we, you know, not exercising our muscle, such as it is in the EU, to get Ursula von der Leyen to grow a pair and stand up to him?
Well, I would disagree, Pat, because where does that lead us? Do we go into a tit-for-tat, tariff war with them, a trade war? You know, that doesn't serve anyone. At the moment, there's a 15% tariff on all goods, and we're working through that EU-US trade relationship, and Ireland is working hard. I know the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach are focused on ensuring that we maximise the opportunities in the areas where the zero-for-zero relationship within that. But it serves no one to go into a trade war with the US.
Do we have no principles? Is that it? We have no principles. We allow a man who's a multiple felon, who has all sorts of charges levelled against him for sexual misbehaviour, who himself, we heard his own words about grabbing women by the genitals. Have we no standards at all? Even though he's the elected president of the United States, can we not actually call a spade a spade?
There, you've put your finger on it, Pat. He is the elected president of the United States, and we have to respect the decision that the democracy took. Our focus in government is to ensure that we're protecting jobs and our economy here. So we've done, we're taking a number of actions. As I said, the Taoiseach and Tánaiste are focused on maximising the zero for zero areas in the EU-US trade agreement. We're also ensuring that we're supporting Irish companies who are currently doing business in the US, whether they're actually Irish owned or US multinationals based here. We're putting in supports around them to help them to consolidate what they're doing and then look to diversify markets. And so you saw the Taoiseach, you saw the Minister James Lawless both out in Japan recently. We're looking to diversify markets. If anything, Brexit gave us an opportunity to actually
Kieran,
develop skills.
What's your take on this? What's Labour's view?
Well, look, I mean, we have been, and the EU has been willing to suck up a lot over the last week in terms of this deal with Trump in the name of certainty for our businesses. But we don't even have that right now. You know, we were told a week ago that pharmaceuticals were part of this deal, that there would be a cap of 15% tariffs on pharmaceuticals too. So either Donald Trump is beginning to unpick that deal, renege on his word with von der Leyen, or that never existed in the first place. We don't know that. We want to know, what is the government's contingency plan here? Where have they been doing the planning? And when it comes to Gaza, when it comes to the Occupied Territories Bill today, we can't let an authoritarian far-right US regime dictate our foreign policy. We have to stand up for human rights, for international law, which they reject. The tenor of that letter that was sent by the Congress people today, they reject the international institutions, international law. It's not just a disdain, it's a full rejection.
So
of
what,
that.
What do we do
totally,
about that? I mean, clearly this man,
the Occupied
this
Territories
regime
Bill.
Is not the like of any American president, be they a Republican or Democrat, that we've ever had to deal with before. So do we just literally suck it up? I mean, we may pass the Occupied Territories Bill, which may or may not have any political or commercial impact. Who knows? I mean, we import little enough from the Occupied Territories, as you probably know.
Of course we know that. And it is in some ways a symbolic gesture, but it is something that we see other countries doing now as well. I think it was Slovenia who passed a similar bill just this week. I mean, we've been talking about this for 8 years and the government has done nothing about it. We want to pass that. And there are times for compromise and there's times for showing strength. I think we can show strength on Gaza. We have shown that we've compromised with Trump in relation, more than compromised in Trump in relation to this tariff deal. But the European Union also has to be ready with its retaliation.
We were one of the governments that was saying to Ursula von der Leyen, go easy, we want to do a deal here, we don't want to hang tough. The French, on the other hand, were saying hang tough. This is not a good deal.
Can you do a deal with Trump, or does a deal stick? It's like playing handball with a haystack at this stage. You know, you've no idea what this guy is going to do. He's not an honest broker.
No, and I think that's kind of the crux of the argument here, that like ultimately there is only so much that Europe and Micheál Martin can do, because unfortunately the world kind of seems to be at his mercy at the moment, and he is just completely making things up as he goes along. Like this 250% tariff on pharmaceutical goods, that would be absolutely detrimental to the US population as well as Ireland, for basic medicinal goods to go for a 250% levy to be put on that within an 18-month period. Would be just as bad for the US as it would be for us. It's a lot of bluster and it's a lot of noise. What actually sticks will be interesting to find out. But I think that Kieran's point about the fact that it is uncertain, everything is uncertain. It doesn't feel like we are any closer to certainty until we get to that space. And I just think it's interesting to note that there was a paper by the Parliamentary Budget Office, which kind of looks at a lot of Ireland's finances, and it found that if pharmaceuticals are excluded from any tariff deal, so it's zero for zero tariffs, only 5%, it's in and around 5% of Ireland's exports will be impacted by tariffs, which is happy days, very little disruption to the Irish economy. If tariffs are included, that surges to 90. If pharmaceutical products are included, that surges to 95% of our exports to the US. That is how influential the pharmaceutical industry is in all of this. So while it is welcome that there is certainty for lots of businesses in terms of the 15% tariff, it all hinges on pharma. And we don't seem to be any closer in getting to in knowing what's going to happen there.
As a senator in Limerick, I'm acutely aware of how important the pharma sector is to us. It's absolutely revitalised our economy in the Midwest and is huge employers and really, really welcome investment for us. So, I mean, I agree with Sarah and Ciarán. You know, we're in uncertain times. We have to control the controllables. We have been told that it'll be 15% for the moment for pharma. And then President Trump this week came out with statements that it'll be 150, 250. We've seen these kind of pronouncements from him before. We have to work hard to ensure that we reduce that figure.
Okay, what about the Occupied Territories Bill then? You know, which is going forward, it's got to go for pre-legislative scrutiny and all of that.
Yeah.
But with that kind of threat coming from American politicians, who perhaps should know better than interfere in the internal affairs of another nation, but it's happening. I mean, what do you do? Do you actually say, well, 250% tariffs if we misbehave on the occupied territories? Oh, no, we won't. Is there a principle at stake here?
I think, look, there's undoubtedly overlapping concerns here. The 250% tariffs, I believe, is unrealistic. As Sarah said, it would be detrimental to the US own patients and to their health sector. And I think that President Trump is disregarding how interconnected and how globalised supply chain is for pharma across the world. So it's just not feasible and would be damaging to everybody if that were to come about. And I note that he talked about China and Ireland in his pronouncements this week. I think that there's an opportunity for our diplomats there to make the case that China and Ireland are very different. In Ireland, we have US-owned companies. So not only is he damaging potentially his own citizens, but also his own corporations. And I would expect corporate America to get involved there. On the Occupied Territories Bill, yes, it has been through the Foreign Affairs Committee. They've issued their report and with recommendations to the Cabinet. So it's with Cabinet now to deliberate. It does have to be weighed up and to be considered along with this very difficult economic environment that we're in. They're awaiting the advice from the Attorney General. And I know that the government, that this is a priority, this issue, the Middle East issue, and of course, the trade issues with the US are both key priorities for the government. So,
All right, does this boil down to we could stand on principle and be on the right side of history and be broke, or we can bend the knee to Donald Trump and avoid some of these draconian tariffs and try to restore ourselves in Israel's good books?
I don't think it's quite as stark a choice as that. I do think on this matter, on the matter of the Occupied Territories Bills for goods and services, as has been strongly recommended by the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Oireachtas, we need to pass that. And we want, I mean, we had offered, I mean, it may seem trite, we had offered to sit through the summer to pass that bill. We wanted it done yesterday. We wanted it done last year, the year before that. For the last 8 years, we've been waiting for this. We also want to know, what are the government members on that Oireachtas committee that have voted, strongly recommended it, what are they going to do to make sure that their government passes this legislation?
Sarah?
Yeah, I think just kind of listening to this, the one thing that is kind of striking is we are at such a unique juncture whereby previously in Irish history, you know, we could, the Irish public could vocalise their principles and their morals because that's really all we had. Our economic control was surrendered to other powers, whereas now, albeit we still are a small country, and do I think that Donald Trump is sitting up at night thinking about Ireland? No, but we have, have a seat at the economic table, and we have control over our own economy now. I think it's kind of a really fascinating debate that is playing out right now in terms of we could just stand on principles before, whereas now the stakes are higher because it is the Irish government who are in control of the Irish
economy. I mentioned
the
Intel CEO that he has an issue with and he thinks he should resign. Suppose Donald Trump decides that we should deport Rosie O'Donnell. But what do we say? Do we call it out for craziness or do we just...
To be fair,
I
think a file could get lost behind a radiator there pretty easily. I mean, there's just on Gaza, though, this is not only a values matter. This is in our interests. It is in our interests as a small, independent nation state that our multinational, our international institutions are upheld. And what the current government, US government and some other governments around the world are showing disdain and rejection for those international institutions. We need to stand up for those, for the UN, for the International Court of Justice. And that's
it sounds like an editorial in the Skibbereen Eagle, though, doesn't it?
But Pat,
keeping an eye on the Tsar.
The Middle East is a very complex place and the issues there are very complex. And, you know, I'm listening to what Sarah is saying, you know, and Ciarán and absolutely, there's a huge desire in Ireland for us to stand up for Gaza and for us to support the Palestinian people. That has to be weighed up with, you know, the the potential impact that that can have. And undoubtedly, in the Foreign Affairs Committee, recognise this, the greatest impact is if the EU acts together. So while we are absolutely considering and deliberating the Occupied Territories Bill, looking for the Attorney General's advice, taking into consideration our own economic situation and the potential impacts that it would have. And undoubtedly, we're in changed economic territories. We must also pursue...
Do you believe that we should delay the ultimate passing of the Occupied Territories Bill until we persuade Europe to get on side?
I'm not suggesting that at all. Okay. I'm suggesting that we have to put priority focused into your EU, because a Team Europe approach is much stronger than an Ireland on its own approach.
One thing that I would say is it will be interesting to see if it comes out of Donald Trump's mouth, if the Occupied Territories Bill is mentioned by Donald Trump, because I think that that in itself will be a game changer. Even we were at a doorstep with the Taoiseach recently, and he was asked about the US ambassador. So a US politician, he's the ambassador in Israel. His comments about
Huckabee
about the our Irish people essentially being drunkards and falling into a vat of Guinness and calling the Occupied Territories Bill lunacy.
He is a Christian Zionist.
Yeah. So. Well, Donald, basically Micheál Martin was asked about those comments and he was quite indignant at first, but he had actually misunderstood. He thought it was an Israeli politician who had said them, not a US politician. So when that record was corrected, he did not go nearly as hard as he did on Huckabee when he thought he was an Israeli politician. So I think that there is a really kind of interesting dynamic there, and that the government is unsure how hard it can go on the US, because it brings me back to that point. We essentially feel like we're at Donald Trump's mercy.
Pat, despite the unhelpful language used there by that representative of the US in Israel, it does highlight that there's a misunderstanding about the Occupied Territories Bill. The Occupied Territories Bill seeks to exclude goods that are generated in the occupied territories,
understand that, whether the Americans
do. So there's work for us to do
there.
They
don't see that those territories are occupied.
Yeah.
They see them as Israel's right. And that's the difference here.
But here we go back to the dismissal by Israel, by and large, of every UN resolution on this matter, penalising UNRWA, keeping them out of Gaza. They don't have any respect for the institutions. What they are still doing as members of the UN is hard to fathom, because the behaviour might have gotten them thrown out if they were a lesser nation, shall we say, in the affection of the United States.
Mm-hmm. And certainly we're living in an era where the institutions, global institutions that had previously been valued and that have a very important role to play, are being undermined and are being threatened. So our commitment to those institutions and our cooperation within those institutions is critical.
OK, the tax bonanza. It looks like it's going to be a bumper year for tax. Sarah.
Well, good for the Irish economy. In terms of optics, it was literally kind of sandwiched in between Donald Trump taking aim at Ireland, saying, oh, too many pharma firms there, bring them back home. And then the deal with Apple to lure them back. So the timing of it, now I don't think Donald Trump is reading the Irish Daily Mail or any other Irish newspaper for that matter, so I don't know how much on this radar it is. But looking at it, you'd kind of wince, being like, ooh, this perhaps isn't
the
best timing.
At the same time, that single investment by Apple of $100 billion over whatever period it is to manufacture bits and pieces for Apple produce in the United States, I mean, that single investment alone is bigger than the Irish budget.
It is,
Mickey Mouse in terms of American concepts of budgeting.
We are and we aren't. Like that €100 billion figure, Apple's main Irish unit paid $25 billion in corporation tax to the Irish state last year. So, it's a quarter of that sum, but like it's still like, you know, it still is pretty major. And the fact that I suppose as an economy, we can't really celebrate this, because one, it's a volatile stream of income for the country anyway. Two, it's about to become more, it's only more volatile now with everything going on. And three, we don't really want to draw that much attention to it, because it could be pulled out from underneath us at any stage, is the feeling. But yeah, the bigger picture is that it looks like we are going to be on course for another record year of tax intake. We are ahead of profile. Last year, there was an unexpected bump of €900 million in corporation tax last month. That is down to one large payment, is my understanding. And basically, the Minister for Finance and Minister for Public Expenditure are saying, listen, we can't be too overjoyed about this. We're just going to stash all this money away and kind of hope that we won't have to use it anytime soon.
Some of the texts coming in. Why don't we clearly label US and Israeli products in our supermarkets and shops and let the consumers make a statement? There's no need for the government to make internationally unpopular decisions. Let the public do it. Listening to your guest, the situation, this is UD, I think, not complex. Sick of hearing people say that. It's about as simple a conflict as it gets. It's occupation and then resistance. Passing the Occupied Territories Bill would be economic suicide for Ireland. It would be unforgivable for any government to do it. The US is primed to make us suffer economically if we are foolish enough to pass it. That's from Dave in Galway. The bill should be scrapped immediately. It's brain dead. It'll have no impact on Gaza. What about the tens of thousands of workers who could lose their jobs? Who will pay their mortgages? We need to wake up fast. It is brain dead to think about passing it. Good God, have we lost all moral compass if we're more worried about pharma than Gaza? Because it's not that complex. So
yeah, and these are the issues that the government is trying to weigh up and take into consideration. You know, our need and our absolute responsibility to protect jobs and the economy here, and also the moral obligation to make the feelings of the Irish public.
How long does the government need to make up its mind on this, though? How many sets of advice from the Attorney General do we need?
Is it not deliberate prevarication to see how events evolve? So that maybe Europe will take a stand on this.
But it seems vanishingly unlikely.
The optimum outcome here is for Europe to stand united and take a stand. That will have far more weight than one single country standing up.
Okay, agreed. But that's very unlikely.
We have already been leaders in Europe in our efforts in Gaza and in recognising the state of Palestine. And you should take comfort from the fact that in the last week we've now also seen Canada and France coming to the same frame of mind as we are.
Well, I don't know about Canada, what help they're giving it, the Israelis, but France, I presume, is still supplying something from its armaments industry to Israel. Now, finally, the last couple of minutes we have left, there was a story earlier this week about the number of Airbnbs available in comparison to the number of long-term rentals that are available to be occupied by people. What did you think of that story?
Yeah, so the Irish Examiner reporting on Tuesday, I believe, that there are 12 times more short-term lets than there are long-term rental properties in the Irish housing market, which is very staggering. I think that everyone knew that, you know, there was obviously a lot of short-term lets out there. If you go on Airbnb, you're going to find more options than you are on Daft. But the fact that it was so kind of plainly put is, really, really staggering. And I suppose it just kind of shows how little we've kind of known about that market. In 2022, there was the promise from the then housing minister, Dara O'Brien, and the then tourism minister, Catherine Martin, to create this register of short-term lets, which would basically kind of crack down on what can be a short-term letting property.
That's all coming in 2027 or something.
It's coming, but it's still being met with resistance from people, from ministers, particularly Norma Foley and Michael Healy-Ray and Kerry, saying
they figure that it's important to Kerry's tourism industry.
Yeah.
To maximise the amount of accommodation available.
Minister Peter Burke has gotten approval from government to advance the short-term letting register, and it's with Fáilte Ireland now. They're putting it together. It'll be launched in May of next year.
Will it solve any part of the housing crisis, really?
Well, that's a very good question, Pat, but nothing's off the table when it comes to solving the housing crisis. Of those 32,000 lets available, short-term lets available, it's estimated about 10,000 of them would be suitable for long-term lets. And at the moment, if you have a property in long-term let, you're supposed to apply to your local authority for a change of use, and you have to get that approval before you can be registered with Fáilte Ireland. So it should bring some
policing, as in most aspects of our inspection and regulation regimes in every area of life, it sometimes doesn't happen. Kieran.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, this is just another example of what the government has not been doing. We've been talking about regulating short-term lets for the last 10 years. The Labour Party has put numerous proposals forward for this. We welcome that Fáilte Ireland are going to finally be coming up with a short-term property register. We want to make sure that anyone who is on that, who is letting out...
When we discussed this during the week, by the way, Kieran, the consensus was that the people who police this are the neighbours. In other words, if they see an Airbnb next door, a whole house being occupied, they'll check, are my neighbours on the register? And if not, they'll snitch.
Yeah, like it kind of is this like reliance on like, because ultimately it's so many properties and it's so much kind of bureaucracy to it as well. Like this kind of planning permission that you have to apply for, like what is to stop someone in, say, like Killarney, like just not applying for it and keeping going as they are? As you said, it's kind of the neighbours snitching on them.
Pat, the message here to people who have properties in short-term let is that if you're not in an urban area, you have nothing to fear to comply with this. You should register. You're going to be legally required to register. And this is part of an EU-wide movement. Kieran mentioned that it's been delayed coming through. That's because the EU Commission asked us to stall on this piece of legislation to make sure that it aligned with an EU regulation. So this is happening right across Europe. This will be the norm.
Last words, Kieran.
Yeah, look, we need to properly regulate short-term lets. We also want to see local authorities given power to levy charges on tourist accommodation, including these short-term type lets.
All right, look, thank you one and all for joining us. Senator D. Ryan from Limerick City, Kieran Ahern, Labour TD for Dublin South West, and Sarah McGuinness, political editor, correspondent.
Oh God, not editor, I wish.
Don't get above yourself.
Someday.
For the Irish Daily Mail, thank you very much all for coming in. And that's all we have time for. Don't forget our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On Newstalk.